We all know what happens on December 25th. It is, of course, Christmas Day. It's what makes the most wonderful time of the year wonderful, right? Well, we know better than that, actually. We know that Jesus makes this the most wonderful time of the year, and truthfully, the most wonderful day of the year isn't Christmas, but Easter Day, Resurrection Day, when we celebrate Jesus's victory over death and sin with his resurrection. But I really like December 22nd. And I don't really like June 22nd nearly as much. Now, any idea as to what my reasoning is for that? Take a guess. Call it out if you know. It's the day after the solstice, December 22nd. And the summer solstice is the day after the summer solstice is June 22nd. And December 22nd is the day after the shortest day of the year. The days get longer starting on December 22nd. You see, I'm really affected by light or lack of it. When it's dark and it's gloomy, as winter looms, especially for extended periods of time, I can take a day or two of clouds and gloom. But if it goes longer than that, I start feeling like my feet weigh a lot more than they actually do. I start feeling dark and gloomy myself. And for that reason, June 22nd is not my favorite day, because I know from that day forward, days will start getting shorter until these December days in Northern Ohio, when daylight hours don't fully dawn until after 8 a.m. I meant to check and see when it really starts getting light, but I didn't. If we're lucky, light starts getting snuffed out. It's pretty well on its way by 5 p.m. It's even worse in eastern Pennsylvania, further east in the time zone, where by 4:30 it's really getting dark. So I like Ohio. I like summertime. I like early June. When we were amazed by this when we moved here back in 2005, we forgot about this. How we were moved into our house on the 15th of June, and we were getting things ready and working out in the yard, and people are walking, and we're sitting on the porch and seeing people walking by, and we go in, it was 10:30, and it was still relatively light. I liked that until June 21st came around. So if you add the prevalent cloudiness that comes with this season, my spirits can take a nosedive. It's no wonder that the holidays can be difficult for people who are alone or struggle with loneliness already. And so I think it's really poignant that Jay brought that to our attention for people who work in dark places in the world, how lonely it is at this season. All to say, increasing light does everyone a world of good. So I want to talk today about the light of the world. So glad that Jason and Lydia included that in the worship package. The light of the world, who is light in the darkness, and how we must be light in the darkness. But first of all, we need to talk about the one who is the light. Now, first, a word about Saint Lucia. We're we're talking about saints this season just a little bit. And there's a great insert that's put together about someone I didn't even know about. And so I learned a lot, and you can see that in that insert that you have there. And Saint Lucia is the saint who is celebrated tomorrow on December 13th. And the insert calls her Lucia of Syracuse, child of light, and gives a brief yet enlightening, pun intended, picture into her life. It was a tragic and short life, but a life where she lived out her conviction to be a picture of Jesus by caring for others who were in hiding because of the heavy persecution of Christ followers in her day. And as you can see in the illustration that's on that insert, that she was the designer of the original headlamp. See this? You know, she designed that. And as she went at great risk, you don't walk down the street with a wreath with candles on it and not draw attention. She wasn't worried about that. She took her light out. She went out into the dark. She went into dungeons. She went into tombs and catacombs where people were hiding, and she cared for the needy. She took the light of Christ to her world, and literally, and so should we. So it's an understatement, as I've opened this up, to say that light is important. Light is essential for life. And Jesus came to be the light of life. And Isaiah talks about that in one of our texts for this morning. And so listen as I read just a couple of verses from Isaiah 9, and Karen already started us with that. Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 4. Now, this entire passage, I'm not going to read all of it, talks about the Messiah, but let me just read these first four verses. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And read further on in that. When you have a chance, read further on in that. Make it a devotional time and read those further verses of that prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. But first of all, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress, for those who were in darkness. Gloom is gone. Darkness cannot stand up to the light. And these are words of promise here. And it's good because the final words of the previous chapter from Isaiah are decidedly less encouraging. If you just look at the last verse of the previous chapter, it says, "And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." But then the promise comes. there is a judgment on the disobedient people of God, and it's relentless. But the promise coming out of that judgment is deliverance. It begins gloriously in this prophecy from Isaiah 9. It begins gloriously with a promise of light in the darkness and a dawn to drive out gloom. So no matter what the calendar says, no matter what it says about how many hours of daylight we have the promise of light in the darkness. This wonderful season of the year is wonderful because light came into a dark world, and that light still illumines our increasingly dark world. We need to light up the world and bring the light of Christ into dark places. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We need to still talk about the light of the world, Jesus Christ. For more light, let's look at the scripture that I'm going to spend most of my time on. Actually, we're going to use this scripture this Sunday, next Sunday, and the next Sunday. We're going to use John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13 there. My Bible falls right open to it. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Let me read that to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. True life is always light. True life is always light. F.B. Meyers says, as speech reveals hidden thoughts of men, so does our Lord utter the unseen God. God spake and it was done. He's using King James English there. God spake and it was done. His words preceded the act of creation, but Christ was the word or utterance of God. He who created time preceded time, and that which is before time is eternal and divine. Christ is the organ or medium by which God goes forth in creation, providence, and redemption. The life of God was stored in the human nature of Jesus when the Word became flesh that it might more readily pass into us. True life is always light. When we receive Christ's light, we shine. So in the same way that I don't really know what you're thinking until you speak, okay, I think it's important for our wives to know this, okay, that we don't know what you're thinking until you speak. You might be able to figure out what we're thinking if we're not speaking, but we guys really can't. But anyway, so in the same way that we don't know what somebody else is thinking before you speak, Jesus is the Word of God, and he's the one that put into words God's thinking for the deliverance of humanity. This is how Jesus is the Word. He's Logos, That's the Greek word that's used here. He's the Word. And not only did he put into words God's redemptive plan for eternal life, he gave it illumination by being the light. He brought his own light. Isaiah prophesied, "To the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And now it's reality. Jesus came, the reality came at that first Christmas. The light had come. The light revealed God, and it illuminated men during the Old Testament. And John points out that the light was always in the world that he made. He was always illuminating humanity, yet because of the hostile darkness and the sin of humanity, the world didn't recognize the light and acknowledge its obligation to him. Darkness was rejection. Darkness represents rejection. But Jesus came to overcome rejection. And the light, here's something that's important to know. The light isn't just for some. It's for all mankind. It's for all humanity. Brent Kircheville points out that everyone has the opportunity to be enlightened by the light. The light didn't shine to just a few. The light shines to the whole world. The light's not limited. This is true about light. It's not possible to turn on the light in this room for me and not shine on you, okay? If the lights are out, okay, and we turn it on, just because it reflects off the top of this bald pate doesn't mean that it's the only light in the room. The light shines on everybody. The light is for whosoever will receive it. In John 1, 9 through 13, there's a hint of this thought in of the light and the Word becoming flesh. But in verse 14, which I didn't read earlier, John, the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, who he referred to, the Apostle John comes right out and says it. He says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So darkness has been overcome. Darkness has been overcome. Without Jesus, we are dead and in darkness. We're lost. It's no wonder then that humanity has a congenital fear of both death and darkness. I mean, some people can walk through darkness or walk past the cemetery and not whistle or whatever, but almost everybody has some kind of fear of darkness. If you might not be afraid of the dark, of the danger that lurks there, and you could still be terrified that you had a hip replacement and you don't want to trip over something, okay? Darkness, when it's dark, it's still scary. My sister had a traumatic experience when she was a child. She had seen in cartoons or something that if you were walking in the dark, you walk like this and you won't run into anything. But she didn't plan on the door coming right up through the middle of her hands and hitting her right in the nose. And she was traumatized by that. Darkness is always helpful. Part of the danger of a fear of dark is reasonable. You can't see in the darkness and you can run into obstacles or you can trip over hazards. You also don't know what lurks in the darkness that's real or imagined. We fear, in other words, what we can't see. And so light is always better. And there's life in the light. Plants don't thrive without light. Creatures can't thrive in the dark. Light is life, and life is light. F.F. Bruce writes, in the first creation, darkness was on the face of the deep. Until God called light into being. So the new creation involves the banishing of spiritual darkness by the light which shines in the Word. So it began at the very beginning. God began driving darkness out from the literal dawn of creation. And it continued with his deliverance from the fallenness of humanity that we talked about last week. Jesus came to humanity. His very name, Jesus, means salvation. Darkness, then, is overcome. Jesus came at Christmas to bring light into darkness. That's why we have, you know, the angels came. And I imagine that shepherd's field was lit up. That's why we put stars on top of our trees. That's why we put out Christmas lights. It talks about light. A bit ago, I read a quote from F.B. Meyer that ended with, when we receive Christ's light, life, we shine. We also heard about Saint Lucia, who ministered to the poor and to the oppressed by going into the night or into the darkness of their hiding places with her way illumined by a wreath of candles on her head. And your insert referencing Lucia ends with the question, how can we, like Saint Lucia, carry light into dark places? In other words, this is a question for all of us to ask as I wrap it up here. Are we shining with the gospel message of the light of the world who stepped into darkness? Are we shining with that? Are we light in the darkness? Do we shine with the joy and the peace and the hope and the satisfaction of knowing that in Jesus we have been received as the children of God? You see, that real message gives a glow to Christ followers. Christ followers just light up a room. So are you shining in the darkness with the light that can only come from the one who overcame darkness? And I pray that you are. And I ask that question of me too. How much am I shining? How much am I glowing? And here's something else to ponder. It's from Madeline L'Engle, who made this poignant point, and it's my last thing that I'm going to say here. We draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. That's being the light. Be that light. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words from Scripture here. Thank you, Lord, for this promise